live. It's showtime!
Now live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, it's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
So shut up and listen.
Doors open in 3, 2, 1.
It's Chuck and Winkler. That's the name of the show, but no Chuck and no Winkler. It's Tim Allen and Ryan Horvath in for the boys, enjoying some holiday time off. We'll get to some of the social media responses to our poll today. We know you love Chuck and Bart. We get that. But who do you like more? And this drives them crazy. It does. We're just having some fun with it.
Do you think Eric will answer this question for us?
He just might. He just might. We'll have that for you. That's our morning poll, if you will. As we continue to talk some Bucks basketball here, we'll get into some Brewers baseball coming up in just a bit. Also, a little bit more on the Packers and the NFL, the AFC, top-heavy NFC, a little bit more watered down in a good way. We'll have all that for you coming up in a bit. Great Midwest Bank Hotline is where we find Eric Name. Eric, Giannis, last night, pours in 50. It's his second 50-point game in his career. His 17th consecutive double-double. What more can you say about Giannis? A 14-3 mark and an 8 straight winning streak for the Bucks. What are you watching when you watch Milwaukee Bucks basketball games? I know we're all fans and all that, but what are you specifically watching for?
Man, it with Giannis, it's at a spot where I don't even really know how to describe this at this point. For me, I think I'm always drawn to his passing and kind of where he is at this point in his playmaking, just because that's the thing I think that continues to improve and take him to the next level. I think with the scoring that he does, we've all seen it and we all kind of understand how he's going to get his points. And obviously the 3-point shot is real exciting for him, but you know, just some of the passes that he makes. There was one last night where he finds Pat Connaughton in the right corner for a three, and I still don't know how he got the pass there. He's up in the air. He has three bodies hanging on top of him from the Jazz defense, and he's at the rim, and somehow he no-looks one to the right-hand corner with only his wrist to get it there, and it was just a perfect pass. It looked like, watching the play, that his shot attempt at the rim was blocked to Pat Connaughton, but oh no, you watch the replay. He threw it out there. He made that pass out there. So I guess for me, when I'm watching the Bucks, I'm always trying to see Giannis and, you know, his playmaking and where that has developed to and where, you know, where he's going with that next.
Yeah, certainly special to witness, you know, the 24-year-old, and that's the key here, 24 years old. I did a show last summer here talking about Christian Yelich and ways to how would you describe Christian Yelich? It's becoming the same way with Giannis. And this cat over here, Ryan Horvath, says that Giannis is, what did you say last week? He's going to be the best NBA player ever?
I think he has the potential. I mean, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, but I mean, look at the numbers this kid's putting up. It's ridiculous. And if you look at it, like LeBron James, Michael Jordan, they picked up a basketball when they were 5, 6 years old. Like Giannis, this is all kind of new to him, and he just gets better every year.
He was kicking around a soccer ball at that age. Well, I mean, it really is. It really is. I don't know if we have yet to appreciate him fully, but we're getting there for sure.
Right, like Eric, if you look at his game last night, I mean, 2 points shy of his career high, he finishes with 50 points, 14 boards, 6 assists. What impressed me most last night, no turnovers. That's the first time since I think like 1977 that a Buck scored 50 points with no turnovers. I just feel like, what do you think the ceiling is for Giannis as far as like greatest player ever to play the game? If he stays healthy, of course.
Yeah, I think you have it right about who you're kind of thinking about, you know, that 50 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists with no turnovers. Him and Michael Jordan are the only two people to do that in an NBA game. Like, that is just right. Ridiculous stuff. And, you know, I think we're at a spot where hyperbole is never necessarily your friend as someone analyzing the game. It's always something that you want to try to stay away from. But with Giannis, it's just about the only thing that you can use to actually describe his game. Like, you have to be hyperbolic in nature because I don't know how else you're going to describe what that dude does every night. I don't know how you can not use hyperbole to describe someone taking two steps from the three-point line and dunking on three cats. Like, I don't know. That seems to need some sort of exaggeration that seems to be, something that is just impossible. So I think you're right on in thinking if he continues to keep improving and kind of continue on the trajectory he's currently on, like, yeah, you have to talk about one of the greatest players of all time. Like, that's the only way to describe this. And to me, it is always staggering with him how he manages to improve year over year. It shouldn't be possible at this point for him to put up an MVP season where he averages 27.7 points, 12.5 rebounds, 5.9 assists. It shouldn't be possible to do more than that. Well,
what I'm saying. Like, you can't ignore the numbers. I mean, even last night, a 17th consecutive double-double to start the season. Nobody's done that since Bill Walton did it 34 times in, 1967. So it sounds funny when you say, can he be one of the greatest of all time? But, I mean, look at his body type. Like, we've never really seen anything like him before in the NBA.
Yeah, he's absolutely ridiculous. It does not at all add up for one player to look like that and to be that athletic. There just really isn't many guys that have done that. And then on top of that, you add all the skills that he has.
Right.
The fact that he sees the floor the way that he does, the fact that he can dribble the ball the way that he does. Now you see it again last night where he goes 3-for-4 from the three-point line in the second half after going 0-for-4 in the first half. That three-point percentage is still at 30%. Like, it is still, he's shooting almost 5 threes per game, and if it is that percentage, that is a real problem for any team trying to figure out how to cover him, because they were struggling before he could shoot it a little bit, and if he can shoot a little bit from deep, I just don't know what you do.
Yeah, check him out, Eric Name, on Twitter, and we're talking Bucks basketball here. Chuck and Winkler, Tim and Ryan in for the boys. Let me ask you this, Eric. We know about Bledsoe. We know about Middleton when he gets back, Brook Lopez. We got all that. The next tier of players, and I think that's what the Bucks are afforded here, the luxury of kind of finding out what you've got here as the next guys up, if you will. DiVincenzo, Connaughton, I mean, these types of players. Who are those next type of guys that will help this team win an NBA title?
I think this year you really have to look at a guy like Wesley Matthews and try to figure out what he's going to bring on a night-to-night basis. He started off the season, he had 3 games in double figures, and then he was quiet for a long time. And now the last 3 games, he's been back to scoring a little bit more and figuring things out. Last night he was huge, 5-of-8 from the three-point line, has a huge third quarter that helps them get back into a game that they probably didn't deserve to win. With as well as the Utah Jazz shot the basketball, and you have this crazy performance from Giannis, and you have Wesley Matthews do what he did in the third quarter. So I think Wesley Matthews is a big one, especially with Brogdon out. You have to know what you're getting from Matthews on a night-to-night basis. He has to work on his consistency and kind of find a way. And then I think DiVincenzo is a good one to bring up as well, because if there are players that can in some way increase the ceiling for this roster, it really is about a guy like Dante DiVincenzo. It's the idea that one of their young guys, whether it's Dante, whether it's Sterling Brown, even Pat Connaughton isn't quite as young as those other two, but still early in his career. Mm-hmm. If one of those three guys can pop for this team, the ceiling of this team increases, I don't want to say exponentially, but significantly.
Yeah, so, no, I agree with you on Matthews. He said after the game last night that he's still early on. He's trying to figure out what it takes to be a Milwaukee Buck and his role. And he admitted that the defense was there for himself. We all knew that. But I thought that was pretty prophetic what Matthews said after the game.
Yeah, and he's interesting because he's been in the league for so long at this point that he just believes in his core that he understands how to play this game and he knows what is needed of him and he's going to be able to bring it. He just needs to find a little bit more comfort. He just needs to find exactly what his spots are and how he can play the game. And I think we're getting closer and closer to that by the day.
Eric, I've talked to you many times on the air. We've never met, but looking forward to that at some point soon, all right?
I look forward to it. Thanks, Tim.
All right, there he is, Eric Name. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Then look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Got a lot going on. Green Bay Packers coming off the loss on Sunday night, as we all know, but still yet an 8-3 mark. We've got the Milwaukee Bucks just going crazy, 14-3 mark through 17. Giannis doing his thing. And we have an off season for the Milwaukee Brewers, which after the Chase Anderson trade, lost a free agency to Yasmani Grandal, but relatively quiet.
Mm-hmm.
We'll figure that out. How important are the next 90 days for general manager David Stearns? We'll discuss next here on The Fan. Welcome back. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, right here in the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Tim Allen, Ryan Horvat in for the boys today. Hey, Ryan, can you name me the original six in NHL hockey?
No.
No, I couldn't either.
The New York Rangers, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Toronto Maple Leafs. I can't.
Reason I bring up hockey, not only the Milwaukee Brewers celebrating their 50th anniversary, but the Milwaukee Admirals are too. So,
ooh, the Harry Zollner checks.
Yeah, you're looking to get a fun night out. Check out Admirals Hockey.
Check out our boy, Bill Schmidt.
Mentioned
on
that,
the ice.
Baby Tosh, yeah.
Does he go on the ice or does he do his stuff from like...
Oh, he goes out there.
Does he skate? Or does he wear his shoes?
I don't think he skates.
I think we need to do a deep dive. We need to do Tim and Tosh podcast on what exactly he does for the Admirals.
From the ice, yes. Yeah. All right. Speaking of the Brewers, 50th anniversary. Next 90 days, December, Jan, and Feb. The big 90 days of winter in these parts. And it's always a glimpse of better days in terms of weather when you get to December 1st, which is this Sunday. But you also have an eye on the Milwaukee Brewers that they trade Chase Anderson for a double-A first baseman. They lose Yasmani Grandal to free agency. They don't take the option on Eric Thames. There are some missing parts here. And just keep your eyes on this. And I'm not holding David Stearns, president and GM of the Brewers, to the fire here necessarily. But this is fascinating for me. I'm convinced on the other side of this, guys, being the Brewer optimist I am, I'm convinced on the other side that things will work themselves out. People say, well, what are they going to do at catcher? Well, I mean, look at the free agent list. You want any of those guys? You want Martin Maldonado?
I mean, I don't, no.
Oh, okay, then he's going to make it work somehow, some way. I'm fascinated by this. This is the first big challenge for David Stearns in this organization under Stearns' tenure here.
I'd agree.
A huge, huge challenge. Now, are they going to move a player or two? They probably will. Again, they probably will make some trades to shore up the catcher situation. Corner infielders, I think, are probably the second easiest to get. I mean, there's a ton of them. And you can do via trade. You can go young. You can go veteran. You can go a lot of different ways. I mean, I am just amazed by how interested I am in the next 90 days. It's going to be cool.
It really is. I'm glad that we got off to a hot start. I mean, it sucks that it had to be Yasmani being the first domino to fall, but at least we're going to get some movement. I'm just excited to see what David Stearns does. I mean, I wouldn't really be surprised about anything. I would be surprised if they went after Gerrit Cole or like a big free agent where you're going to have to set a record by paying him.
Yeah.
I have no idea where do you think any of these guys are going to land? Who do you think is going to be the highest bidder of this? Is it going to be the Yankees per usual, the Dodgers, or do you see like a team sneaking up like the Phillies did last year?
No, probably. And the money is just outrageous in Major League Baseball. I think it's out of control. And an example of that would be Steven Strasburg turning down $25 million a year for 4 years guaranteed.
Do you think there's any chance he returns to Washington or he's done? He got the World Series ring. Now he's going to get another big payday.
I think there's a chance.
I think so, too.
And you know what? Just to smear it in my face as a small market Brewers fan.
It's going to be the Cubs.
Just to smear it in my face. Well, that could be.
No, I don't think they're spending money.
Yeah, not that much. Gerrit Cole. Was it Gerrit Cole?
Gerrit Cole.
I can't remember who it was after the no, it was Strasburg, right? He had the Boris Incorporated hat on.
Yeah, yeah. Right after he won the World Series.
After he wins the World Series. You greedy.
Right after. Right after he did it. Right, right. And do you think that, like, that's his clients, that's coming from him, from Scott? Or do you think that's them on their own? I feel like he has such a big ego that he tells them immediately after, represent the brand.
It's just a little brash to me, man. That was a little, I was taken aback by that when I saw that. And it's like, dude, really?
I
mean, you're popping bottles here, and you're already thinking about your money next year.
Instead of you're celebrating with your teammates.
I mean,
right?
I get going after money. I totally understand it.
Right, but you could at least have 48 hours to celebrate your World Series championship. But that, I mean, that's the way it's heading, especially with all this money and these deals are only going to get bigger. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Major League Baseball with all this money.
And it leads us to money with Christian Yelich. It does, and it's going to happen. How big of a dollar amount that is, I'm not sure.
I have no clue.
I'm honestly...
Not even ballpark.
I couldn't even...
300, 350...
I can't fathom this organization going that high.
I can't either, but, man, Christian Yelich, I mean, he's an MVP... He's arguably the best player in the National League, and he does put butts in seats, or if you want to like go that way.
And
but
he's a good dude, and there's this full package.
It's going to be interesting to see how the market's set. Like, what's Chris Bryant going to get if he actually does leave Chicago, or when he hits free agency, if they don't move him? Like, what are some of these younger players going to get? Like, Juan Soto hasn't got a real deal. He's 20 years old. And I think that, man, I honestly don't know. I don't see Yelich going under $350 million. I really don't, especially when you look at what Bryce Harper and Machado got last year. Yeah.
Unless they buy out the final 2 years of this current deal to give him a bump there, maybe they get a break on the big dollar amount down the line.
And he probably wouldn't do it. Do you think so?
Oh, man.
I'm glad he's not a Boris Lyon. Like, I looked up, I don't even know who the hell his agent is.
Right.
Like, I don't really know who that guy is. That's a good thing. I like these guys that are just, like, coming up with new agencies and stuff. And not going with the higher agents where you know you have no shot.
But that's, I guess, down the line a little bit, or is it? I mean, now would be the time you get some money, really some freed up money. There's a lot of money freed up by the Brewers.
Right. I mean, if you could get it done now, the problem is that teams have been trying to do this. Like a couple years back, the Nationals tried to redo the Bryce Harper deal, and they threw him a total, and he was like, no, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. The Cubs tried to do it 2 years ago with Chris Bryant. They tried to extend him, and he said, no way.
Yep.
So then it comes down to, okay, well, we're not going to throw you $500 million, and we don't want you to walk for nothing so we could get some pitching prospects. I just don't want that to be the situation where you're like, okay, we have no shot of bringing Yelich back. He's
right.
Going to a bigger market. We need to move him for, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, next July.
Insert double-A pitcher here.
Yeah, next July or July of 2021.
Right.
They end up doing a blockbuster, and then the screws come loose, and he ends up signing a huge deal with whoever.
Yeah, exactly. With most likely,
that's the ridiculous nature of economics in baseball. It really is. It's sort of sickening to me. But again, I defend a player in that. Get your money.
Get your money. Absolutely.
Yelich didn't grow up a Brewers fan.
And that's
just saying
right. And that's what I say with these guys in the NFL. Like, if I'm an owner, if I'm Jerry Jones, there is no way in hell I'm paying Ezekiel Elliott all that money. There's no way in hell I'm paying Melvin Gordon all that money or a running back all that money. I'll give that money to a tackle, the block for the running back. But I don't fault Zeke for sitting out. I don't Zeke Melvin Gordon to sit out, because get that money while you can, because your career is short. It could snap. It could be over just like that.
Big time.
Some good news on Twitter. People have been asking us. The radio.com app is back up. It's working, so you could stream anything you miss. You could also pause, rewind, fast forward, go back and catch anything you miss. We also have our full podcast and all of our interviews, including the one we're going to do with Mike Clemens up there.
Yeah, Mike Clemens is up next, talking about the Green Bay Packers and their situation heading into the game against the Giants here over the weekend. And Mike Clemens, speaking of money, highest paid employee here on The Fan. Did you know that?
He should be. He's the best.
And he's going to be up with us next. Chuck and Winkler, Tim Allen, Ryan Horvath in for the guys today on The Fan. There it is.
Trying to get me in trouble.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, right here in the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Tim and Ryan in for the boys, and we welcome in, well, a guy that does it all when it comes to the Green Bay Packers, Mike Clemens. Mike, Coach LaFleur, how are these guys going to react? Man, that was a beatdown on Sunday night.
Yeah, I had some comments there from the coach last night in his press conference, sort of recapping after watching the film of the game.
Hey, Mike, really quick, yeah. We got a little...
Anytime you get embarrassed like that, you find out what you're made of. You find out a lot about people in times of adversity. And I think this will be a good test for our football team. Hopefully we'll become better for it. But certainly there's a lot of work to be done. We got to use every moment from today till we play the Giants to get it done.
Thank you.
You guys have a good one.
Good night, everybody.
Sorry about that, Mike. A little technical difficulties got frozen up there.
But we got it in there. We did get it in there. And this is a little bit different than what they've been going through, Mike, as young teams got to learn from getting their butts whooped.
I'll tell you what. You know, Matt LaFleur is a pretty very even-keeled guy. You know, the highs don't get too high. We've seen some videos of him celebrating wins with this team inside the locker room. There's a temper there. He's a coach. I've seen him on the practice field, bring the guys in, and have to read them the riot act on certain things. It's firm, and there's some bombs dropped in there. But for the most part, very even-keeled guy. I thought he looked shell-shocked. And, you know, the last time I saw that was the face of Sean McVay about the third quarter last night when the Rams were taking their beat down from the Ravens last night.
Yeah.
It's just, he came out after the game very late. Usually he comes right in after the game is over with, says something to the players, and comes out. He came out like a full half hour after the game was over with Sunday night. And then last night, after reviewing the film, you know, you really got a sense that that was an embarrassing game. That was embarrassing for Aaron Rodgers. I think, you know, a guy like Jimmy Graham, who he and Rodgers are thinking, they appreciate 8-2. They understand, wow, I mean, we got a shot at this thing. If we can, you know, hold up or learn some things from the 49ers, we might make a run at this thing, and Jimmy could finally get his Super Bowl ring, and you know, Aaron Rodgers could get a second. But listen how LaFleur described that post-game locker room in San Francisco the other night.
I mean, everybody was hurting in that locker room. Everybody was disappointed. But I think these guys will battle. And I think what I love about our group is I didn't feel like there was anybody pointing fingers. We've all got to look inward, coaches, players, everybody involved, and look at ourselves and be honest with ourselves about what we can do better.
That is pretty profound, and it is educational, and I think he's going through that too, Mike. As a young coach in the NFL, he's got to go through these things to ultimately get to a Super Bowl championship.
And he said, we got out-schemed. Well, yeah, later in the game, like the beautiful pass to George Kittle, you know, for 61 yards. I mean, they just – Kyle Shanahan draws this misdirection to the right. You see, on the all 22, you see everyone's eyes in that defense run to the right. Like a student body shift to the right. George Kittle lines up in the left slot. Now he's got Kevin King one-on-one. And King, and Tremont Williams said this Kyle Shanahan, he's always been great at attacking leverage. If he sees a guy, you know, he knows the defender, the tendency 4 out of 5 times he's going to have his hips like turned out toward the sideline. Then you're going to run a post. If you got him turned inside, then you're going to run, you know, a fade to the corner. And so he's got Kevin King's hips turned, looking to the outside, and he cuts inside, and now he's wide open over the middle. Darnell Savage has bitten on that play action to the right that everybody else is chasing down. And Kittle is wide open. He's a tight end, and he's 40 yards downfield with a broken ankle, and he's wide open for the touchdown on that play. And yet, you know, the game starts off with Rodgers in that fumble, so he gives the 49ers a short field to get, you know, the early touchdown. But, you know, the defense was holding them there to a couple field goals. I mean, they kept it close while they kept on waiting for the Packers' offense to get going. The thing, it was just so overwhelming, and I don't care how much technique or ways that you can teach offensive linemen to say, okay, defensive linemen get paid more than you, but here's the technique, here's what's within the rules so you can hold these guys off. The way those dudes are playing right now for San Francisco at 6'7" and 300 pounds, and as fast as they are, they're just stronger. They're better than you. They're just better. And I think that that's the thing that LaFleur's got to deal with this week, is like, this is such a setback in their confidence as football players because they just got so beat up the other night, is that, you know, you got to get back. You've got to convince them you can do this with concepts and schemes and technique, you know that there's always a way for, you know, David to beat Goliath and these kinds of things. So LaFleur was asked, you know, after reviewing the film of the 49ers game, how do you think your defense did?
Yeah, I thought there was only 48 snaps on the defense side of the ball. I thought the first 20 snaps were pretty solid. We gave up, obviously had that short field on, you know, having the turnover, which we knew was going to be a big deal going into this thing. They had the sack fumble. They took over on the 2-yard line, were able to punch it in. And then outside of that, there was one big run that we gave up that led to a field goal. But I thought, all in all, just the starting field position was so out of whack. The defense was put in some pretty tough situations just right from the jump. But I thought they battled. I thought we got after the quarterback a little bit. But then got hit with a couple of explosives, and then the game just kind of got out of hand. When we had a chance, we went down to score. It was 23-8, and then the very next play, they hit Kittle on the 61-yarder, so that makes it 30-8. And it just, against a team of that caliber with what I think is the best or one of the best defensive lines in the National Football League, with a sound back end where they're not going to give up big plays, that's a tough big-time challenge to really overcome that type of deficit in their home stadium.
Yeah, and field position, Mike, I'm with you there, and I'm with LaFleur there as well. What, just on another note, what's going on with J.K. Scott in that game? I mean, there were some punts that were, what, 32 yards, 31 yards, setting up the Niner offense.
And, Tim, you would have thought, you know, after he struggled in the colder conditions at Lambeau, that, you know, it was 60 degrees in Santa Clara the other night, that would have been a good night for him. He ends up walking away with a 37-yard average. Just when a month ago he was kicking a 47, 49-yard average, he was kicking 61-yarders. So LaFleur says he has gone to J.K. Scott and said, listen, we've got all the confidence in you. We know that you can, you know, get through this to fix it. But obviously he's got to fix it because they're going to get into these colder weather games. Hell, this next game is going to be in New York on Sunday against the Giants. The punt return game is just, I mean, they're going to set an NFL record right now for negative yardage on punt returns. That Jeez. Just doesn't make any sense. You know, I've talked about Shamanenga. It was so much more detailed, and he's got two assistant coaches, so much more than we'd seen in previous years under Ron Jizook or Sean Slocum. But, I mean, they're off. They're just off on their special teams, except for, you know, thank God Mason Crosby's doing well. They need to do a better job in some coverage. There's no threat. And I think it starts with personnel in terms of who they've got for a return man. Trevor Davis gets traded to Oakland. They get a 6th-round draft pick. They think they're going to be smart with getting the tryout kid, Darius Shepard. It ends up being in over his head as a rookie. Now, so they put him back in a practice squad. They bring in Trey Smith. You know, he's just average right now. So there's nothing electric about that, and they really need to figure out a way to improve that aspect. Another thing they got to work on is offensive line, because Brian Bulaga's got a sprained MCL. That'll be a couple of weeks. At least it's not a torn ACL, because he tore that ACL in that same right knee a couple of years ago. And so Alex Light is in there, and he gets beat up by the 49ers. And I thought this was interesting when LaFleur was asked last night, well, hey, the good news is Alex Light, now he gets all the snaps in practice. That's got to help him get ready for the Giants. And LaFleur said, oh, yeah, sure, that'll help him. Or, you know, there's other possibilities we could take a look at, which is which means, I think that means Billy Turner goes from right guard to right tackle, and they bring in, you know, Lucas Patrick to play right guard, which is probably a better option.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know good coaches, good managers, they look at every situation as an opportunity, and this certainly is one. Heading into the game against the New York Giants, the schedule is favorable for the 8-3 Green Bay Packers. Mike Clemens, we appreciate the time. All right, Mike?
Thank you, Tim.
You got it. Mike Clemens on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, then look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
We mentioned money a couple of minutes ago, and we'll mention it again next here on The Fan. Yeah, taking this thing in for a landing here. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries right here in the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Kevin Holden, CBS 58, will join you, Ryan, tomorrow morning. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the reminder. Good. I actually forgot, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy holiday weekend, you know?
Yeah. Bill Michaels is coming up in just a couple of minutes here. Green Bay Packers certainly on his agenda here. Also, Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis pouring in 50 last night. We ran a poll question all morning long, and I do this about once a year, and those longtime listeners, you guys know I do this. We know you like Chuck and Bard. I get it.
You love them.
Yeah, and I just throw it out there. Who do you like more, Chuck or Bart, and why? And there some interesting comments here, including from Bart Winkler.
Yeah, so let's look at the poll results, as we only got about 12 minutes left as this poll expires at 10 a.m. Bart comes in as the winner, 55% of the votes go to Bart, 45% of the votes go to Chuck.
Okay, fairly split.
Yeah, some of the comments. Snoop says Chuck because Bart is a... Oh, never mind, I can't read that. Steve says, because Bart just trolls for responses, I can't believe he really believes some of the crap he spews.
Okay.
Wild Dime, Punisher, tweets in at 105.7FM The Fan, says, equal. Love Chuck's old school knowledge and takes on things. Love Bart. He's funny and I can relate with his passion and the stuff he talks about.
I agree with that one right there.
We cannot leave out Ryan Horvat, who I feel has a ton of sports knowledge. You know your stuff. I can relate to you as you keep it up.
And this one, love Thanks. Both Chuck and Bart, and give Ryan Horvat his own show.
Fire? No, I'm kidding. This one comes from Mark. No option for equal favorites. No option for Tim. Somebody wanted to vote for you, Tim.
No option.
Geez, I almost read this guy's handle, and it's, F the Cubs, and I almost just read it out loud because he spells it Pete. Never mind. Let's just keep myself on the air. Because Bart is the type of person who would simulate the regular season in video games just to play in the playoffs. Yeah, that's some of the knocks on Bart. He the other day said the regular season means absolutely nothing to him. He's just waiting for the playoffs, and people didn't like that response.
For the NBA?
For the NBA, yeah. And then I think people got confused and thought that he meant for the Packers season as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, we talked about that earlier today. You can check out the podcast, 1057fmthefan.com. Check out the podcast of this show. Talked about that and how we should be appreciating each and enjoying each and every game. It's really cool what the Bucks are doing. Guys, it just is. And, you know, I find myself really kind of interested in, number one, obviously Giannis at the top of the list, but I mean, the next group of guys, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. See, I'm kind of torn because I agree with the NBA regular season. It's just so long. And when you see the teams that are contenders every year, like, they don't care about the regular season. The Warriors didn't care. LeBron never cares. But at the same time, as a fan, I like to go to the Pfizer Forum on a Saturday night. You know, you bring your wife, you bring your kid, and it's like, you also have to look at it in the eyes if you have children, right? And if you got kids, whether they be 6 years old like mine or 13 or 14, like, regular season games do matter. They only maybe get to go to one or two games a year, so that does matter to them. Just because it's not a playoff game, they want to see their favorite player. They want to go out there. They want to see Giannis on the court. They're wearing the Giannis jersey. So, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of torn both ways. Like, the regular season, I don't mind the load management and stuff like that. I don't think every game matters. But at the same time, yeah, like I don't want to spend $200 to go to a game and then watch Giannis sit in street clothes.
You got to think back when you guys were kids, and you think back of my economic situation. We weren't rich,
right?
Half a village of kids. I mean, my parents had six kids. I'm one of six kids, so I got to go to like a Brewer game or a Bucks game.
It was a huge deal.
It was a huge deal. It was like once a season.
Yeah.
And maybe when we graduated to a couple of games a year, and we'd do it on the cheap, of course.
Right.
You know, bring in your own bag lunch and that sort of deal. I mean, that's just the way it was. It is a big deal to a lot of these people. And I think the Fiserv Forum guys are doing a really good job.
Completely agree.
They are, guys. Their marketing and their specials and their, take your ticket stub here and get this. And you can hear them during the broadcast on Fox Sports Wisconsin, all the ticket deals and what it comes with and things like that. So they're doing a nice job in that regard. But to say that I guess it comes down to the pure nature of how you are a fan.
Right.
Because a lot of people get off on that game is its own season. That game is its game, and you kind of, nice pick and roll here, a drive and kick, and that was sweet basketball and things like that. And others are, the top-heavy teams, and we're not used to this,
mm-hmm.
being the Bucks in this area. The top-heavy teams, Golden State, what do you think they thought of game number 18 of their run?
Right. Exactly. No. And the cool thing is that people are going out, so I don't think it's going to matter. Last night, again, they sell out. 17,385 was the mm-hmm. attendance at the Fiserv Forum. So, I mean, that's 17,000 people that care. I think it's exciting when you're the best team in the league. I think every regular season game, at least I want to watch, it's at least interesting. I mean, even if you don't want to sit or even if you don't want to play your stars throughout the entire 82-game season. So, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, in the Packers regular season, NFL, every game matters to me. Like, people thought I was bent out of shape yesterday. Yeah, you're still, 8-3, 9-3. I don't know. Every game matters to me. I get bent out of shape after every loss. Well, like, they could be 13-2 and rest in their starters, and I'd be pissed.
Most fans are like that.
Right.
With regards to the NFL.
Well, yeah, because it's a 16-game season,
right.
Whereas Major League Baseball, like if the Brewers lose to the Reds on a Saturday night.
See, now that's, in my world, that's a huge loss, but in most worlds, it's really not.
Right, because there's 161 of them to go.
Even with some of the players and managers over the years. Are you kidding me? That game is huge.
I know, and I feel like that's what drove me nuts, especially as a kid, is like, I was half joking, but like Devontae Adams at the end of that Packers game was laughing and joking with Rodgers on the sideline, and I was like, man, I don't like to see it. Like when you go into the clubhouse after a loss and a guy opens up a Bud Light or they're like laughing. And
Manny Pena's dancing in the corner.
They're going over their plans for the night. I'm like, no, you go home and you watch film, damn it.
That's right. Isn't there some film you can see on tomorrow's starter?
Right.
It's the difference in, I think the huge difference is, and the conversation will continue throughout the next couple of months for the Milwaukee Bucks. It has to be the fact that they are, what do we call it? Probably the front runner to win the East?
Oh, yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Front runner to win the East. That's different than in all the years past that I can recall. We don't kind of know how to deal with this. Last year it was a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't think we detected it until, say, January.
Well, I keep telling everybody to enjoy it because, like, these runs don't last forever, and they could end just like that. I mean, look at the Oklahoma City Thunder a couple years back. You had Kevin Durant, you had James Harden, and you had Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
Now you went to one NBA Finals, you lost to LeBron, you said, hey, it doesn't matter because we'll be back. I mean, we got this team. These guys are all 22, 23 years old. We'll be back for the next decade. What happens 2-3 years later? Break up.
People thought about the 2010 Packers that way.
Right. Like Aaron Rodgers is going to win multiple Super Bowls. Like you have to enjoy each season is its own season. There's injuries. Money, there's so much damn money. There's free agency now. Enjoy each season differently.
I love it.
That's what I try.
I love it all. And, just to put it into perspective, yes, there's a lot of games in basketball. But who knows? Maybe Miami is kind of the Cinderella team and gets scorching hot.
See, I think that would
maybe
help
it's
the NBA.
Philly, maybe it's Boston.
Right.
Maybe it's, Toronto. We had Rick Bucher from radio.com sports NBA insider say, hey, he kind of likes Toronto too.
Yeah, that was interesting to hear, especially without Kawhi Leonard. I mean, Pascal Siakam has kind of become a superstar for him.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's, I think that would be awesome for the NBA if just 1 year. Like last year, the Bucks were kind of the surprise team. They won 60 games. I thought it would have been cool if they went to the finals and upset the Warriors, a healthy Warriors team with Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. Because in the NBA, the problem is you just don't get a whole lot of parity. I mean, up until last year, we had four or three straight NBA finals where it was LeBron versus the Warriors every single year. So there was no parity. Like, you don't get that underdog Washington right. Nationals team that sneaks into the finals and wins it.
Yeah.
And I think as much as it's like the NCAA tournament, right? We always want the 16 to beat a 1. We want the Cinderella. But then when we get to the Final Four, we don't want to see San Jose State. We want to watch Duke, Kansas, North Carolina. I feel like dynasties...
At least give me Villanova.
Right. Dynasties right. are actually good for sports. Guys like LeBron and Tom Brady are good for sports. As much as we hate them, like, we love to hate them, I feel.
But it could come down to one game in the East. You never know. So these games are important. We certainly know in the NFL it's 1/16th of your season. So they're all important in terms of home field and seeding and being in or out of the playoffs. In baseball, we've certainly learned, although there's 162, we've certainly learned that the last 3 years of Brewers baseball, every game did matter but one.
And sometimes you get 163.
Exactly. And that was, well, if you don't get that win in June, you wouldn't have had the 163 to
right.
determine.
So you always have to look big picture, right? That game in June, that game in July against, I don't know, who, the Giants. The Giants who are 25 back in the division. That game does matter maybe a little bit more than we want.
It does. And the outside of the final game of the 2017 Brewers season, every game did mean something. And I don't know. I just didn't enjoy it. When you're this good and you're the Milwaukee Bucks, why wouldn't you enjoy it would be my question. All right, Bill Michaels is up next. I love doing this with you, Ryan. I was a dishwasher once, so how can I not love doing this?
Yeah, I'll miss you tomorrow. Yeah. Kevin Olden in with me, though, my other good buddy.
Packers and Bucks conversation coming up with Bill Michaels in just a couple of minutes. Thanks for listening, Chuck and Bart. They are back when?
Great question. Monday.
They're off all week?
Yeah, they're off all week.
Well,
had to think about that.
Enjoy your 13th week off this year. All right, that's going to do it for us. You guys have a great day.